welcome one and all once again to the show that never ends. This is Nerds on the Rocks episode 19, which as we're...
19.
Okay. joining me this week is Nicholas.
Hey.
Who just raised the bar for future episodes of this podcast. You're going to need to say the number of every show from now on in a way better than that.
Yeah, he's going to have to find a way to do that. joining us from Trending Cinema is John.
Hello.
And once again, bearing the Atlantic Ocean, it's Anthony.
Hello.
this week's episode focuses on Pixar. I know we did one back in June, Toy Story 3 came out. And this one is also for Toy Story 3, but on Blu-ray, and would focus more on the company as a whole instead of that single movie. So, to get started, what was everybody's first experience with the company? Anthony?
Probably... Well, I went watching Toy Story in the cinema, but the first thing I remember more watching A Bug's Life on DVD, I think. That's... Okay. Yeah. I can't really remember seeing Toy Story that much in the cinema.
On DVD, Bug's Life on DVD.
Yeah.
So were you an early DVD adopter or a late Pixar?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right.
I think it was pretty much
I think first year, isn't it?
It came up... Bug's Life came out on DVD near enough the same time it came out on VHS, I think, because that's when DVDs first started, around 98, 99.
Yeah.
I believe.
Were you mesmerized by the technology where you could skip ahead whenever you wanted?
Oh, they were, back then they used to be double-sided, didn't they?
I hate double-sided DVDs.
Yeah.
Or flippers, yeah, flippers suck.
No, discard.
A long way.
I hate those, and I hate the cardboard boxes. The snapper cases.
Oh, yeah.
And, Nicholas, what was your first experience?
I saw Toy Story in the theaters, but, I mean, I've seen all the Pixar movies in the theaters with the exception of Cars and, Toy Story 3, which I actually have yet to see.
Ouch. I think we can kick him out, can't we?
You haven't seen Toy Story 3 and you're on the Toy Story 3 DVD episode?
I was asked to be on this. I did not choose this life. It was chosen for me.
But no, you work at a movie theater, Nicholas?
Yeah, but actually my friend gave me a copy of it, which did not work on DVD. So,
I was supposed
to watch it.
And you could have seen it, but you chose not
to. Listen, I could have seen a lot of movies, but I'm a busy man. I can scarcely fit in the time to do the stuff I'm supposed to do, much less, you know, see the movies I really want to see.
Now I'm kind of curious, what movies did you decide to see over the summer instead of Toy Story 3?
Inception.
Ask him how many times he saw Inception.
Three.
All right, so one of those couldn't go to Toy Story 3, which is also
nope.
In cinemas? All right.
Other than seeing Inception three times, what else did you see this summer?
Scott Pilgrim, twice.
Okay, so far I've watched two movies five times.
Inception three times.
Iron Man 2 twice.
Oh, definitely you could have cut out one.
And that's pretty much all I saw in theaters. I saw a lot of things on through less than legal means, we'll put it that way.
So three movies seven times, and that one of them was Toy Story 3.
Yep.
Gotcha. So, you know, there was not...
Honestly, I want to see it. I will see it eventually. I know you love it, John.
I'm waiting for the right moment.
I don't see how it could possibly be better than the second one.
You prefer
the second one's
3D
on
2D?
Oh, I also don't see how any Pixar movie can possibly be better than Up. So
that's a tough call. But you actually prefer Toy Story 2 over Toy Story 1?
Yes.
Interesting.
When's the last time you watched those?
Toy Story 2 I actually own on DVD. I haven't watched it in the past year, but
okay.
I used to watch it. I worked at a video store for 5 years, so they were on regular rotation, along with Monsters, Inc. and Finding Nemo. So I've watched both of them multiple times. But like I said, I've seen all of them in theaters, but the one I like remember the most, like first seeing and being like, oh my god, was Toy Story 2.
Alright.
Okay. And I guess the roundabout answer to that question, I've seen that the first movie I saw was Toy Story. I believe that's Toy Story and probably Toy Story 3 are the only Pixar movies I've actually seen in theaters.
What?
No, and Up.
Did you not go watch Wall-E at the cinema?
No, it's this kind of thing where, like, those are kind of kid movies, and after a certain age, It's kind of awkward to go see them in theaters. At least to me.
What are you talking about, man?
Wall-E is about robots and love. There's nothing wrong with that.
One of the best ones. Anything.
Yeah.
I've seen all their movies, but I've only seen those three in theaters.
That's probably the one that if I hadn't seen it in the theater, I'd have been mad at myself.
It was one of the first movies I've seen on Blu-ray, so I kind of appreciate it for that.
That's fair enough.
But yeah. I might have seen A Bug's Life. Some of these I don't remember, and I just wasn't a big movie goer, but I'm still not a huge movie goer. But I have seen Toy Story 3 this summer, so at least I have it one up over Nick.
I've seen Monsters.
Did anybody go watch Toy Story 3 in 3D, or did you lot see it in 2D?
In 2D. I've heard nothing but terrible things about it in 3D.
I don't think it's terrible,
I think is the wrong word. But unnecessary much better. I'm actually a huge 3D supporter.
Are you really?
Yeah, and but for Toy Story 3, I actually saw that in 3D twice and in 2D once, and I actually preferred the 2D edition. Though I found nothing was really wrong with the 3D, but I didn't think it added a whole lot to the film. Where actually I saw the re-release of 1 and 2 in 3D, and I was blown away by it.
Interesting. I actually wanted to go check those out, but that was for like a weekend, and I just knew it was going to be jam-packed with a bunch of snot-nosed kids, which Toy Story 3 was.
That's why you go to late showings.
Yeah,
you go
midnight.
To showing like 11 p.m.
Well, I mean, I guess I wasn't really paying. I've never done a midnight showing either, so.
Of anything?
I never thought anything was worth it.
Wow.
You have to understand, and apparently this is
not
just...
Not even Lord of the Rings?
I did not see Lord of the Rings until 2006.
Can we throw someone off their own podcast?
I don't think so. yes, I'm a...
Mutiny on the show.
But if you want to get into my history, I also didn't see Star Wars until like 2004.
Which Star Wars, the new ones or the original ones?
The original three.
Oh, wow.
I remember watching them in 97 when they re-released them.
Yeah.
I'd seen them before, but I was watching them.
The only re-releases I saw were the Empire, but that's the only one worth it.
But yeah, off on a random tangent. So Toy Story 1, has anybody seen it recently? I mean, other than John seeing it in 3D?
Yeah, I mean, I watch Toy Story really often.
Do you? How often is it often?
It's my favorite movie.
It's a great movie.
It's a great movie. I just can't watch movies that often.
I watched it a lot this summer, especially. I've taken more of a break from it from school, but, I mean, there would be some years where I'd watch that movie at least once a month. When I was a kid, I'd watch it, you know, repeatedly. But yeah, the first one's my favorite movie, period. Not even my favorite Pixar, not even my favorite animated. So yeah, it takes a big focal point in my, you know, what I spend my time watching. So
that's impressive. I can hardly watch the same movie within 6 months. It drives me up the walls to see the same thing so often.
Yeah, you know, it usually does that for me too. And yeah, for Toy Story, it really just genuinely gets better for me every time. I've never had a viewing experience of Toy Story where I felt like, oh, you know, that wasn't as good as the last time I watched it.
It's a phenomenal movie. The last time I saw it was when Toy Story 1 and 2 released in Blu-ray in March.
Yeah.
Ooh, they look good on Blu-ray.
Yes, they do. I think all Pixar movies do so far. I own those two. I own Monsters, Inc. I own Wall-E, Up, and, of course, The Incredibles was just announced for the spring, and I'm so excited for that. Because that is my favorite Pixar movie. It's jumping ahead.
I'm a little disappointed, though, that Finding Nemo wasn't picked. Because there were some rumors about that coming out at the same time. And that's actually the one that I don't own myself. My family owns that. And so I can only watch it when I'm home.
so you can't watch it every month.
I already have The Incredibles on DVD myself, so I will be repurchasing it on Blu-ray. But if Finding Nemo was coming out first, then I would have everything.
Yeah, I lost my copies of The Incredibles on DVD when I worked at a daycare, and I brought it in for the kids to watch one day, and I had to leave early, and it went missing. Yeah, never saw it again. So I've been dreading like picking it. I wanted to pick it up again, but I didn't want to pay $25 for a movie we owned. And then when I got my PS3, I'm just like, I'll wait for it on Blu-ray. But Disney has this terrible habit of just like doing these things like one or two times a year.
They bring them out, don't they, for like 6 years or something, or less than that, and then every 6 years they re-release them.
They put them back in the Disney vault.
And bring them out for a couple of months, and then these things become huge collector's items, and then they've...
It does wonders for their sales.
Yeah, because the commercials always say, see it again for the last time.
I remember the turn of the decade, for the last time this century, check out these Disney classics. And it works, because people are like, crap, I have to get this.
Yeah.
And then they do it on VHS, they do it on DVD, they do it on Blu-ray, and we'll buy it
Have to give Disney some credit with their releases, because I actually, there's more than a few reasons why I get these day one, and this isn't just Pixar. But, for example, for Beauty and the Beast, I grabbed it the first week because they had this $10 coupon, so I actually got the movie for $14, brand new day one, in the nice Best Buy Steelbook case, and I'm doing the same with Toy Story 3 next week, and they just put a lot of effort, I think, into pleasing the fans, because their transfers are always perfect. They have great bonus features, and they do this, you know, if you want a discount, you go online, print out a coupon, and you can get $10 off a brand new release. I did it with Princess and the Frog back in, I think it was March. Yeah, back in March, and I got it brand new on Blu-ray for $10.
Yeah, I think if you did it, you got that with Toy Story for like $12 to get those.
So, I mean, I say kudos to them for doing that, because it really helps collectors, I think, save a little bit of cash. I think it sort of balances out the fact that they, you know, you can't buy Lion King right now, but you will be able to someday.
Oh, yeah. It's out next year, isn't it, on Blu-ray? I think.
The other thing
I heard it was next year.
Yeah, it's fall 2011 for Lion King.
Yeah.
Is it really? When are they doing an add-in?
That is not announced, but it will probably be the year after, because it's about due.
But yeah, the other thing I like about Disney's free releases is that they're kind enough to usually pack in a DVD for free.
Digital copy.
Well, I've never used any of my digital copies. I should probably just give them to people. But yeah, I did not know digital copies expired.
You can only use them once, Cap.
Well, not that, but if you don't use them within a year, you know they're no longer good.
Yeah,
so,
which is kind of lame.
Yeah, they don't tell you that. I guess you can check, but like I have.
And you can only use them once, so if your computer crashes, you're screwed.
So, but yeah, with a DVD copy, you know, in case, you know, like not everybody has a Blu-ray, so if you're on the road, I'm not going to be calling my PS3 around the country and stuff like that. Would be nice. What are thoughts on A Bug's Life?
I love Bug's Life.
Nicholas, I'm so glad. I want to give you like a hug right now.
I love it. It's the Seven Samurai.
Everyone hates on Bug's Life.
I love the Seven Samurai story. It works in so many different genres and milieus that like you can take that story and transpose it to different stuff, to bugs, and it works.
Now, do people hate it, or do they just think it's one of the lesser Pixar movies? Because I would actually put it at the bottom, near the bottom of my list, personally.
Well, if you compare it to the other ones, like I'd say like WALL-E and Up are probably better than A Bug's Life, but it's a bit harsh on A Bug's Life, because A Bug's Life is a great film, but WALL-E and like Up and probably Toy Story 2 are better than it.
That's the problem with saying things or a Pixar movie is it's not as good, because all Pixar movies are great. It's just the varying messages of great. Even Cars has things going for it.
It's
Cars, the worst one. Great movie.
It's, I wouldn't even classify it as good. It's passable.
I'm wondering why they're making a sequel to Cars, actually.
Because it makes them a shit ton of money.
That made a lot of money. Just not even just the movie, but through licensing, merchandise stuff.
Do you know, I think an Incredibles sequel would be a lot better and would work a lot better as a sequel rather than Cars.
I think they want to, but they can't get Brad Bird back on board yet because he's busy with other projects.
Yeah, he's doing MI4.
I would also assume that with the other superhero movies, that is a pretty crowded market. There aren't many talking comics.
Yeah, I suppose.
It's just kind of sad. I miss Herbie.
So the Incredibles is the good version of the Fantastic Four.
Amen. Yeah.
So definitely. If only Marvel could copy somebody copying them.
Well, now Disney owns Marvel.
And Fantastic Four is owned by Fox.
Remember those Ant-Man, Edgar Wright, Pixar rumors?
Oh god, that would be so amazing.
People actually want an Ant-Man movie?
Hell yeah, they do, yeah. If Edgar Wright does it.
With Pixar? Yeah. It would be amazing.
But it's Ant-Man.
But it's Edgar Wright and Pixar. See, this goes with the argument about the not following comic creators. Do you not follow directors?
You know what, we're not going to get into this here.
Oh, he doesn't, does he? Oh, shame.
Scott has been fired.
We're not getting into this. anyhow, I mean, we briefly touched on Toy Story 2, which some weirdo thinks is better than Toy Story 1.
Oh, I love Toy Story 2 so much. I love all the Star Wars stuff in it.
Yeah, Zurg is the best character in it.
And I think
Zurg.
That the musical sequence in the middle with the Sarah McLachlan song is actually one of the most emotional things in any Pixar movie before.
Yeah, I'd easily agree with that. I definitely don't want to come off as a Toy Story 2 hater because, you know, we talked about this just now with A Bug's Life. It's a phenomenal film, but
it's not as good as the other
and
two.
I actually like it more now that 3's been released.
Are you saying that you don't like 3 as much, or you like it how it ties into?
Yeah, good point. I like it. One of the problems I had with 2 was I was sort of annoyed by Jesse the whole time, and I actually like Jesse a lot in Toy Story 3, and I think Miss Bo Peep as well, but I think her appearance in Toy Story 3, sort of having that extra movie, because before it always felt like she was like one movie behind the rest of the cast, and I know Bullseye is like that too, but he's not like a prominent character.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to sound like I love all three movies. I just think of the three that it's the weakest of the three. It's still a pretty great movie. It's just that on that scale of Toy Story from awesome to great, it falls on that line of greatness.
The one thing I really don't like still about Toy Story 2 is that they do the, and this is every animated film that does this, I get really frustrated with, is the dance sequence at the end. And it's the only Pixar movie, I believe, to do some dance sequence, you know, like DreamWorks style. And I just saw Despicable Me yesterday, and they have this dance sequence at the end too, and it just frustrates me. Because it's like, what kind of like stupid things can we make are the characters we made dance like? And I don't know.
Does Toy Story 3 end with a dance?
Yes, in a way, because they have one during the credits though. The actual last scene it's not a dance number like it is in Toy Story 2. It's a sort of thing after the credits.
I actually like that dance sequence because of the version of You've Got a Friend of Me in Spanish. Oh, sorry if it's spoiling the movie for you. But you should have seen it when you saw your other three movies 50 times. here's a movie I avoided until this year. Monsters, Inc.
Really? Why?
I just, it never looked that interesting to me.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's a great movie. I'm happy I bought it.
That might be my second favorite.
It's in my top 5.
I was going to say, if you say top 10, that kind of defeats the purpose.
It's in my top 11.
It's my top 10.
yeah, good movie. Good cast. Are they making a sequel to this one?
Yes.
And when is this one due?
That one is due November 2nd, 2012, according to this Wikipedia.
They moved it up, too, because of Twilight. It's going to come out the same day as Twilight. Wait, and as soon as I forget the studio announced their release date for Twilight, it was like less than a week later. Pixar came out and said Monsters Inc. 2 weeks earlier.
Yeah. They made another Twilight? I thought there was only one more movie.
Yeah. No, there's still they're Harry Potter in it. Yeah.
Because there's just too much good story in there that they have to tell.
I guess they needed more time for the werewolf to be shirtless and the vampire to emote at the screen. I don't know.
Slow motion shirt taking off takes a long time, Earl.
They should have Zack Snyder do it.
I would totally go to that movie.
I actually would check that out. That sounds really weird, but whatever. One of my favorites is Finding Nemo. Thoughts on that one?
I like that one a lot, too. That was one I actually watched a lot when I worked at the video store for some reason. I know it's just Dory is a character that I love a whole lot out of all the Pixar movies.
I love the movie, but I honestly think I've only seen it once. Let's see. Actually, I've seen A Bug's Life once, Monsters, Inc. once, Finding Nemo once, Cars once, Ratatouille once, Wally once.
Hey, Earl, want me to blow your mind?
What?
I saw Fight Club 4 times in one day.
Why?
Because I was watching the various commentaries on the DVDs. Want me to blow your mind further? I saw Star Wars Episode 3 three times in 24 hours on its first day of release.
Why? Not the original release.
Star Wars Episode 3?
Oh, okay. Why?
Why did you watch that film three times?
I actually like that
It was
point.
An accident. It was not planned. It was
an accident?
Nicholas, there's no shame. I did a similar thing three times in a weekend for Episode 3. It was the last time you could see a Star Wars movie in theaters.
But again,
except then the animated film came out.
But it wasn't even that. It really was an accident. It was, like I said, I worked at a movie theater. And I built the print, and we had to preview it. So I watched it with one of my friends who worked there. And then there was an employee screening, and I was bringing my cousin to that. So we saw that one. And then there was a midnight show, and my friend was coming down from New York. She's like, hey, would you want to go see Star Wars at midnight? And I'm like, shit, all right. So it ended up being three times in 24 hours. And I don't think I've actually seen the entirety of it since then.
I actually enjoyed that one of the three new ones.
Oh yeah, of the three new ones, it's the best. But
Phantom Menace.
Phantom Menace, I think, has the best.
So much unneeded crap in that.
Phantom Menace has the best parts, but I think out of a whole,
it's got the best lightsaber battle.
I would say the third one is the best of the three movie ones.
There's some weird like connection between Star Wars and Pixar here. That keeps coming up, and maybe it's because George Lucas used to own Pixar. Until he sold it to Jobs. Or I guess that's not exactly accurate, but Jobs picked it up later from Lucas previously owning it. Maybe that was one of the beginning mistakes of Lucas. Maybe that's why the Star Wars prequels aren't as good. It's just, he's in this mass depression for releasing probably one of the greatest film studios ever known.
But they weren't doing anything at the time.
They weren't.
Yeah, they were just getting started out. Yeah, they were like a spinoff from ILM, correct? I know, yeah. I remember reading the circumstances before, I just don't remember them exactly.
Yeah, but just because something is great now doesn't necessarily mean they would have become great if they had stayed with him.
They probably would have stayed with him.
So yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the whole thing with Nintendo and the PlayStation. You create your greatest enemy, but, you know, PlayStation brand wouldn't have been anything if it had.
Although I'm not sure if Pixar has become Lucas's enemy by any stretch.
Just wait until they make this Star Wars parody. And while we're giving random confessions, Anthony, is there any movie you've seen 50 times in a weekend?
I actually went watching Revenge of the Sith twice in 2 days myself, but yeah, that's about it.
I've seen Revenge of the Sith once in like 6 years, so you all got me beat. And people used to make fun of me because I saw The Dark Knight, what is it, 5 times in the theater over a summer.
I watched that quite a lot as well.
That's actually
why it made
more
so much
me.
Money.
My friend Chris Noose saw Up 50 times in theaters.
Seriously?
50? Yeah.
That's crazy. That's awesome, but that's crazy.
Yeah, Pete Docter sent him like assigned like art book and stuff. Yeah, and then he ended up getting like invited to check out the studio.
That's amazing.
That's insane. I mean, if
I'm going watching a Pixar film 50 times, so that I get invited to the studio.
I mean, because what is it? A ticket take what? I'd say on average like 10 bucks, which isn't always, which isn't necessarily true.
Yeah, I think from my memory, and Chris, if you're listening to this, sorry if I got the numbers wrong, but I think he saw it 27 times in 3D, and then it was rest he started doing in 2D, and then he hit dollar theaters for like the last like 20 or something like that.
What do you have to do to get over that hump the first 30 times?
My question would be, did he still get choked up and or cry in the first 10 minutes, like the 49th time he saw it?
Yeah, I'm pretty certain that it still affected him pretty greatly.
That's how goddamn good that movie is.
I just can't believe somebody would see a movie that often. I don't think I've ever seen any movie that often over the course of my entire life. So...
I know. I wish I had a count. I think the movie that I've seen most is probably Return of the Jedi. Sorry to bring up Star Wars again. But part of me wishes I had some...
movie counter?
Yeah, if my... You know, if I ever have kids, I'm definitely going to do a movie counter for them. Just because I would love to know how many times I've seen, like, Empire and Return of the Jedi, just because I would watch that on repeat since I was able to, like, open my eyes as a child.
Same with me. Like, I wish I know how many times I've seen, like, Ghostbusters or Back to the Future or something like that.
Well, you folks can start recording it from now and then just guesstimate what you did before.
Yeah, but now it's, like, lost. I mean, it's the same thing. I used to save ticket stubs until I worked at a movie theater, and then I, you know, would just be allowed in. And then all of a sudden I was like, Pan's Labyrinth was the first ticket stub that I didn't have, and I forgot to print one out. And then after I didn't have that piece, I just stopped. Though to bring it back to Pixar, I have every single Pixar stub except for Toy Story 1. I know. I wish I could find it.
Go back in time with the time machine.
And I actually do have a count of how many movies I've watched over the past whatever month, at least.
Oh yeah, your web's.
I'm up to number 110 today.
But that's all. I'm assuming you haven't seen any repeats this year.
No, there has been repeats in there. I include repeats.
Oh, do you now?
Yeah.
That's an interesting project to try out. I mean,
I only count movies that I sit and watch the entire thing beginning to end of. So if I only watch part of it, doesn't count.
Yeah, I have my project set up for next year though, so I mean, which won't be fun, but we'll see how that goes.
And honestly, getting Netflix Instant Watch interfered with the project because I'm watching a lot more TV on Instant Watch than I would have otherwise.
I think TV is easier to watch on Netflix. I just find it that if I have, like, it's easier to find 30 minutes than it is to find 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is...
Here's a question. Sorry, Earl, were you still going?
No, you can go on.
I'm sorry. you can chop around that. Anyway, here's a question. What do you guys think about sort of the future of Pixar here? I know a hot debate in sort of the fan community is, you know, Cars 2 and Monsters, Inc. 2 and Toy Story 3 just came out. And there's I think the only original project right now is Brave on the horizon. What do you think of sort of that slight change in direction of what films are coming out, you know, more sequel-based recently rather than original?
I think, well, with their track record, it seems like they do good stories. So Cars accepted. I was explaining to someone that, like, with Christopher Nolan going, like, with the Batman title or with Darren Aronofsky signing up for Wolverine 2, they're amazing directors, so you give them the benefit of the doubt. I think Pixar's track record proves that whatever they do, I'm there for it. So,
yeah. I guess I'm asking, would you rat, you know, I think part of me is on both sides of this, but would you rather see, them come up with new characters, or do you love the old ones so much that you really want to revisit them back on the big screen in a completely new story?
Oh, I would totally prefer original stories. But if they're going to do another sequel, I like that it's Monsters, Inc.
Yeah. I like the combination of the two. I mean, I think what Pixar, at least early on, is that they had no kind of characters to build on, so they always had to come up with something new. But at the same time, you look at the company, I mean, Toy Story is 15 years old now, and they've built a stable of characters that everybody loves and adores. And if they think they've found the proper avenue to bring them back in a story that's just as great as the original, I don't mind expanding that universe. At the same time, they can also build up new franchises and stories and new elements that people would love. I think it's the same with any company. I think it's, and I like to use this comparison often, Nintendo and Pixar to me are like the two similar companies where they just have that marquee stable of characters. And people kind of attach to those, but they always want to see them make new things. But at the same time, you know, you can't straddle both mistresses, I guess. I don't know if straddle's the right word. So I guess we're moving on to The Incredibles, which, as I pointed out before, is my favorite Pixar movie. And as we said before, it's a pretty much a Pixar take on the Fantastic Four.
Basically, yeah.
And superheroes in general.
Did it come out the same year as Fantastic Four, or was that Fantastic Four the next year?
I think Fantastic Four was the year after, right?
Yeah, it was the Incredibles came out first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Before The Dark Knight, and I would say The Incredibles was actually the best superhero movie made, period.
I would agree with that to an extent. I mean, I kind of prefer my established superhero fan base, but as a superhero story and movie, I think The Incredibles is up there.
I like the themes of it a lot, which is it's a theme it shares with Ratatouille that not a lot of Hollywood projects espouse, which is that they always want to be very egalitarian and everybody is great and everybody is special. And Incredibles and Ratatouille both say, listen, no, not everybody is going to be good at something. Certain people are good at certain things. And you have to accept that maybe you're not going to have superpowers and be a superhero, but you are good at something else.
Are you saying I can't get superpowers?
No, I'm saying you can't get superpowers.
Why?
Because you don't follow comic creators.
That has nothing to do with it. If I want to write on my origins, I could buy these writers or whatever. But
you know what I mean. That, like, yeah. Just because someone is good at something doesn't mean you should be tearing them down for it.
It reminds me of one of my favorite scenes in that movie with Dasho, where it's not Dasho. I think it's the bad guy. He's like, you know, because when everybody's special, then nobody's special.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that, I think that kind of speaks to it, that, you know, people sometimes get ostracized because they're better than other people, and people always strive to be them, but they can't, so they just find it easy to pick on them or isolate them from society.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's also the theme of the X-Men, but...
And the movies have been criticized for that. Incredibles and Ratatouille have both been criticized for being elitist, which I think is, like, as far from true as you can be, but...
Is that true? I mean, I never heard of somebody...
Yeah, I hear a lot of people complain about that.
Huh. So you learn something new every day. There's some special people in this world.
It's people reading things into it that aren't necessarily meant to be there. It's like people reading The Social Network as misogynist when...
Yeah.
The idea is that the characters are supposed to be assholes, which is why they're misogynist. Not that the movie filmmakers espouse that belief.
Hmm. Now moving on to everybody's favorite Pixar movie, Cars.
Eh.
Thoughts on that one?
I think the story isn't what's wrong with Cars. I think it has some pacing issues. Usually when I watch a Pixar film, I'll be drawn right into it and not be able to stop watching. But Cars is one of the ones that I can actually have on while I'm doing something else. Just sort of have it on in the background and look at it and be like, oh, that is beautiful animation. And then sort of go back to what I'm doing. I think it's a lot to do with the pace of the movie. And it's funny too, because, you know, maybe part of that is also a lot tied in with sort of the message of the film as well. But yeah, I think that's why the first time I watched it, I remember being blown away, but, you know, trying to pick it up back up again, sometimes, you know, I have to be in the right mood, whereas every single other film I can pick up and just instantly be drawn right into it.
I'm gonna be honest, I just hate Larry the Cable Guy.
To me, I just never thought that it had any type of redemption in the main character. I thought he was kind of a jerk at the beginning, and he's kind of a jerk who gets his way at the end. Yeah, he's a bit nicer to people, but he hasn't really changed his attitude. And I just felt that without that, you know, holding the movie together, there was really nothing special about it. Again, you all go quiet.
Well, not a whole lot to say about it. Car sucks. I mean, what?
It doesn't.
It doesn't suck, but
it's my least favorite one, though.
I think it's everybody's favorite one.
It's definitely a lesser Pixar.
So, do you guys think Cars 2 will be better or worse?
It
would have to be better.
Cars 2. I don't even know what the story's going to be about.
I'm actually really hopeful for it.
Have you seen the teaser trailer for it?
Oh, the teaser trailer is awful, though. It's the first Pixar teaser trailer that I have, you know, just flat out not liked.
Because it's Cars 2.
Usually their teasers are uniformly excellent. Even for Cars, the teaser was good.
Yeah, and they're always, and I guess this still sort of carries over, you know, it's something that's just made for a teaser that's not going to appear in the film. If you can remember, the Incredibles teaser was, you know, Mr. Incredible trying to get his belt
pumped.
And yeah, I think they always sort of work well as this little short film. And I think that's what was missing from Cars 2. And I think they started going this direction with Toy Story 3's teaser where, you know, all the characters came out in Andy's room and sort of talked about how Toy Story 3 was going to come out. But I think it still really worked for that film. For Cars 2, it just felt like this ad, rather than this sort of work of art, which I feel like a lot of the past teasers have been. And this just felt like, you know, slap on your face, Cars 2, it's coming out. And I don't think it did, because there's a lot of fans of Pixar who don't appreciate Cars as much as the other films. Obviously, we've already talked about this. And I think that there was a really good opportunity in the teaser to get that fan base pumped up for this movie that I think a lot of people have been doubting.
Well, I mean, that's the next one, so hopefully it's good. If not, there's a bunch of superhero movies to keep me occupied next summer.
Emotional like themes of the movie, but sort of the visual theme they're going with is world racing, and so they're going to have, you know, races around Tokyo and France, and I think if anything there's going to be some spectacular
visuals.
Yeah,
that sounds awesome. I mean, I can't wait to see Pixar's take on some of these cities.
But how will they beat Speed Racer?
I know, Speed Racer, well, that's what got me excited for Cars 2 initially, too, was seeing Speed Racer for the first time, and I hadn't seen it in theaters. I saw it relatively recently, and then it was a couple of weeks after I had saw that I saw, you know, they were doing Cars 2 in this sort of similar, you know, sort of, similar rhythm to what Speed Racer was doing, and then I got a lot of hope for, because I think that was the best part of Speed Racer, is
visuals.
Awesome tracks. Yeah, and with the visuals. But of course, at least I'm assuming Cars 2 won't be as sort of ridiculous in its track design, but
it won't have, you basically saying like it won't have a race car Viking being punched out mid jump.
Yeah.
That's such an awesome movie.
Oh god, I love Speed Racer so much.
I mean I prefer watching it just for the visuals. I the story's kinda crap.
I know, but it's ridiculous. Race car Viking.
That's all you have to say.
It's a race car bike.
Race car bike.
Yeah, it's like why G.I. Joe is awesome, because it's got ninjas with jetpacks.
Do they have jetpacks? I really need to watch that movie. I love that movie as well. It's one of those kind of guilty pleasure popcorn fest movies that you turn your brain off for 2 hours and just enjoy. And it's phenomenal on Blu-ray as well.
Oh, no, I don't turn my brain off.
Oh, I turn my brain
off. I enjoy that on an entirely intellectual level. Because it is so goddamn fun.
I guess going back to Pixar nerdism is Ratatouille. Which is a good movie. I wouldn't put it in my top five. I don't think.
It's a good film. It has a great voice cast. Like, Patton Oswalt's very good in that.
Okay.
Patton Oswalt as an actor. So.
Who else is in it?
Will Arnett.
Yeah, Will
Arnett. Ian Holm.
Jeanine Garofalo.
Brad Garrett.
You know, this is one of the things I like about Pixar is they don't, you know, if DreamWorks, I don't hate DreamWorks, but I'm sort of just making the comparison between their marketing here. DreamWorks will pour a lot of, you know, the selling point into who they have cast. Whereas Pixar, it feels like when they're picking the voices, it's not a, you know, whose name can we sell with this? It was a little bit different back in the Toy Story 1 days, but even right into Bug's Life, they weren't pushing the actors' names.
Yeah, they weren't going for like movie stars.
Yeah,
quote unquote.
Go ahead.
It's like Tom Hanks in Toy Story 3, wasn't it? Tom Hanks is one of the biggest actors in Hollywood. Yeah, they didn't like really mention he was voicing the film, did they, for Toy Story 3 when they were promoting it?
But I think Toy Story 3, you don't have to promote who's in it. People know what Toy Story is. I mean,
true. But it could get a few more people into the film if you know Tom Hanks.
If you don't know that Tom Hanks and Tim Allen are Woody and Buzz, I think, you know, you've been missing out on the last 15 years or so.
Yeah, but on that similar note, like the two of the major actors in Toy Story 3 were Michael Keaton and Ned Beatty, who neither of which are, you know, box office draws at this point.
Yeah, good point.
Just randomly while we're discussing, what is your favorite Pixar voice cast movie, I guess?
Mine's still coming up, whichever one has Mark Hamill in it. In the future, it's going to happen. Mark Hamill will do a Pixar movie, and it will be my favorite movie.
I could have sworn that Mark Hamill was just kind of retired from voice acting.
No, I refuse to believe it.
He hasn't retired, no. He's just not going to be doing the Joker anymore.
Yeah, I figured if he's not doing the Joker, I heard because of his
After Arkham City, he said it's the last time he's doing the Joker.
Well, I think they finished the voice recording for that. I just assumed that, you know, because he was having troubles with his throat.
Is it?
Yeah. I would say Kevin, but Kevin...
Do I do?
I don't think Kevin's ever going to give up that until he dies. They're just saving Kevin for when he gets old enough to play Batman in The Dark Knight Returns. So, yeah.
One thing I want to say about Ratatouille is next time you watch it, if you haven't done this before, pay attention to the way the camera moves. And I know they're not using a traditional camera, obviously, but I think Ratatouille has the most exciting camera movement of any film in the past decade that I've seen. It's just the way it moves, especially around the kitchen when those kitchen scenes where, you know, Remy's running around and sort of those, you know, escaping death action sequences in the kitchen. Just phenomenal choices with the cinematography, or if you can even call it that. It's just really fun to watch.
Would anybody eat food prepared by a rat? Speaking hypothetically.
Yes.
Here we go. I mean, if the rat could cook, I don't see any problems with it.
As long as it doesn't have, like, Ebola or typhoid or whatever, yeah.
But you could still kind of get that if humans cook it. You shouldn't, but you can still. What is it? Okay, next is Wally. Wally.
I love Wally.
So you kind of.
I love Wally so much. Because it's about robots, and I love robots.
Robots. Wally was a movie that actually took me by surprise because I wasn't expecting the second half. Like, I mean, I figured it had to have something other than, like, the robot being on a planet by himself, but I wasn't expecting that. looks like. So what is everybody's thoughts on WALL-E?
I love WALL-E, because I love robots.
WALL-E's my favorite one. It's my favorite Pixar movie.
Interesting.
It's in my top three. It'd probably be my second favorite of the all of them.
Oh, why?
Why would it be my second favorite?
But why did
he's a robot. He doesn't talk, but yet you still get so much emotion and portrayal through that character due to the animation and the actions he does and the stuff he does in the film. It's just brilliant.
Until he turns on you and kills mankind.
It's not Skynet.
Oh, he's not Skynet yet.
No, he's WALL-E. He's not Arnold Schwarzenegger.
This is post.
No, not is. He could be the prototype of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Nah, he's full of love. He's a robot and he's in love.
He's a cleaning robot.
A cleaning robot, yes. He cleans up the mess he does when he kills people.
Oh, you're being too cynical. I just love that the beginning of the movie is essentially like almost a silent film.
Yeah.
It's all the visuals and Ben Burtt working together, and it's magical. And I still think Ben Burtt not getting the Oscar that year and Slumdog Millionaire getting it for sound design instead was one of the biggest snubs. I've witnessed.
But
an Oscar.
That's a number at the end.
Yeah. If it did, I would be pissed. As I
said, it was Ben Burtt's sound design, and like they used Roger Deakins, who does the cinematography for a lot of the Coen Brothers movies.
Yeah,
he was like a consultant on the film, which is why it all looked like just spectacular, even more so than other Pixar movies. Like just the starscapes and the desolation of the earth.
Yeah, it really looks like a live action film until the human characters come in. And they even use like live action footage. That was the first and still I think only Pixar movie to use live action mixed with the animation. It's not very much of it, but when they're doing the humans at the beginning and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good movie. I would put it in my top five. Next up, okay, that's just going to be a terrible pun no matter how you spin it. So, next movie's Up.
Next Up.
Up is my favorite Pixar movie. I think.
That's definitely in my top three.
It's that opening sequence is a killer.
I actually prefer the ending.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Nicholas. Yeah. That'll be good.
Talk amongst yourselves. I'm typing.
Sorry to get up self track. That has to happen, though.
But okay, how are we gonna talk when you two are tweeting?
Done. Anyway, but yeah, I love Up. I love the opening sequence is amazing. I get choked up every time I see it. I love the message of it. I love the fact that they have a summer blockbuster release that starred essentially an 80-year-old man, a dog, and a small Asian boy.
That sounds like a bad one.
And it's an adventure movie star that the main hero and the main villain are like really, really old dudes. That's fantastic.
The top animals were a bit weird, but you know.
It got an Oscar nomination as well, didn't it, for best film and best animation film.
Don't most Pixar movies get a bunch of awards?
Well,
one got best picture. Best animation.
The only time, and the last time that happened was Beauty and the Beast, though it's slightly less impressive because if they only had five nominees as Beauty and the Beast did, it probably wouldn't have made the cut. And now we're probably going to see that again with Toy Story 3 this year.
Are they doing 10 or 11 nominees again? Because that was just ridiculous.
Yeah, they're doing it again.
I mean, not that this podcast hasn't been derailed enough today, but I don't get the point of it. I get that you want to have a bunch of movies, but 10, it just doesn't seem prestigious anymore. It's like, we'll just do anything that came out this year. But that's just, I feel like they want to take 5 of them, because you picked the 5 best, not just like 10 that people said were good.
Well, in theory,
it's the same thing, but it's like, you know, there's a difference between when you have to narrow it down to 5 when you have 10 of them. It's like, you know what, people said this one, people said that one. We can get those in, because we have enough room to work with. That's just my thoughts, anyhow.
Well, a lot of it is to do with ratings because they saw that there was so much outcry that people that they didn't have The Dark Knight nominated for Best Picture, and not even among geeks, like regular, like, you know, everyday people flip their shit about it.
Yes, I think that, well, not always, but I think there's been a trend recently where, like, the Oscars are kind of more or less centered around, like, the big blockbuster movies, which is what everybody sees, and more like these niche films.
Like, I wouldn't necessarily agree with that.
I mean, if...
The last year, definitely, because with the expanded category. But then you look at, like...
What was in 2008?
2008
I'm looking
was
that up right now.
Benjamin Button was up.
Possibly.
No. Big one. Was that when Slumdog won? I did not like that movie.
I hated that year at the Academy Awards.
Year before that was good, though. Year before that was There Will Be Blood and No Country for Old Men.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Year before that was The Departed. Year before that was Crash, which, fuck that movie.
Yes, Nicholas, I agree.
Well, but they go through cycles where there will be, like, really popular movies that win stuff, and then, like, you know, then some year, like, you know, Precious gets a lot of nominations.
There's always one, like, random one, too.
Yeah.
Like, when The Reader got and I really liked The Reader, but it was sort of this random entry.
That's another topic for another day. We're on Oscar season. And I guess, speaking of Oscars this year, Toy Story 3. Highest grossing movie this summer? Or am I mistaken?
Yep.
I don't know. Was it?
Yep. Yeah.
Inception is, isn't it? Or...
Oh, Inception.
No, is it Toy Story?
It's Toy Story.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Over 200 million. Made.
And I think it's still going. I believe this... well, it has to be the last
one. It might be in dollar theaters now. Like, it's not in any of the main ones anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in our $4 theater right now.
You have a $4 theater before you hit the dollar theater?
We don't have a dollar theater.
Maybe you are. I'm always disappointed by that.
I don't know what these dollar theaters are.
They're like theaters that, like, 3 or 4 months after a movie's been in theaters, they usually hit still. And it's like, they're usually like $1 to $3. I guess, because we used to have something like that in school. I used to work on campus, and we had what they call second-run movies. Like, movies before they hit DVD and Blu-ray, but after they were taken out of major theaters. So you kind of get them for cheaper to run, and then they would charge it to the students like $2, right, to watch a movie.
I was totally looking at the wrong number. Toy Story 3 made over $1 billion.
Yeah.
And its budget was $200 million.
I believe almost...
Which is insanely high, though. That budget
crazy.
Is insanely high for an animated film, even though it made a ton back.
Well, I mean...
Yeah, that is crazy.
Not if you look at Pixar's history. I mean, WALL-E's $180 million.
Yeah, they spend a lot.
I mean, sure. when you want the best, you pay for the best.
And a lot of this money is probably development money, too. Like, Toy Story 3 was in development for a while. So was WALL-E.
Up, I also assume some of it's part of the 3D, because I know Up and Toy Story had 3D conversions.
Mm-hmm.
Voice acting, stuff like that, marketing, tie-ins. But, I mean, they made the money back, so it's not a big problem. And, I mean, we all touched on it, but just to make the issue, what was everybody's favorite Pixar movie?
Up. Actually, we've been tossed up between Up and Toy Story.
John? Well, never mind, it's Toy Story.
Yeah, mine's Toy Story.
And mine is The Incredibles. This will probably be an easier question. What is everybody's least favorite Pixar movie?
Cars.
But if we're counting short films, then crap. What's it called? Boundin'. Boundin' is my least favorite.
Which one is that?
It's the musical.
What was
the favorite? Dancing like sheep one?
The one the short before Incredibles.
Yeah.
What was your favorite one?
Favorite short?
Night and Day. Was it Night and Day, Cole?
Day and Night,
the one before Toy Story 3.
I like Partly Cloudy.
Partly Cloudy lost some... I thought that was my favorite until I saw it a second time.
Yeah, it kind of uses something once you see it on repeat.
I really like One Man Band. You know, especially with, you know, Michael Giacchino wrote the music to that. And, yeah, I love watching that short.
And Jack's Attack.
I'm thinking, was it Presto, the one with the rabbit?
Yeah.
I like Presto, and I like the one with the birds. when they're on the birds on the wire. I love that one. I forget which one what it's called, but one with all the little tiny birds on the wire, and then there's the stork.
I don't know, but
for the birds,
for the
possibly?
Birds, yeah,
for the birds, that was it, yeah.
Thank you.
Is there anything you folks want to say before you wrap it up?
Not really.
No, enough for Pixar. No confessions of seeing 50 movies in one weekend.
That would be impossible.
I think you can see 50 movies in a weekend.
That would be literally impossible.
No. How many hours are in a weekend? Are you including all 3 days? If you include all 3 days, you could watch Toy Story 1 50 times because it's an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, if you get like an hour and a half, you can watch 50 movies in a weekend.
You could do that. Don't challenge me.
I attempted to.
You would have to never go to the bathroom, never eat. Well, what? Never.
No. You can
order in
the toilet and have people serve you food.
You can order in, or you can prepare stuff ahead of time for the weekend.
You've thought about this.
I haven't thought about it. I'm just doing this on a.
No, I mean John. You've thought about this.
No, I haven't.
I'm kind of tempted to see how far somebody would get with this. Who's up for it?
I've watched all 3 Lord of the Rings extended versions in a row.
See, that's like watching 50. That's like watching 50 movies in a weekend.
That's weak. They do that in movie theaters all the time.
Once.
Was it the extended ones or the theatrical?
Extended. I think it was like a 12-hour event. They gave you like breaks in between every movie to get snacks and use the bathroom.
Oh.
So, is Nick saying he's going to do this with Lord of the Rings and Star Wars? One weekend, all 9 movies?
Fuck that.
You can do it.
I'd have to watch the Star Wars movies again.
Yeah, what's wrong with them?
I'd have to watch episode 2, for God's sake.
Okay, what if you watch the first 3 Star Wars movies, then the 3 Lord of the Rings, and then the final 3 Star Wars movies?
I would still have to watch Attack of the Clones.
Watch all the Pixar movies 5 times in one weekend.
That would be crazy.
That would be insane. I'm almost tempted to believe that John would be up for that.
I probably would be.
But you don't have Finding Nemo.
No, well, I actually do have I took the DVD and I put it on my PlayStation 3 as a digital copy, though the quality's not nearly as good.
So I have it
if I need it.
So that's what we're going to see. Next time John does a trend in cinema, he's going to have an episode where he watches all 11 Pixar movies 5 times.
Live trending. We can do one of those things where like people, a lot of people do this where they play video games for like 4 hours and they get sponsored to like support a charity.
So you can do like a Mystery Science Theater type commentary over the movies.
Yeah.
That'd actually be an awesome idea. I don't know how many people would pay to watch somebody watch a movie though.
Well, they're not paying them to watch the movie. You know, they check out for a couple minutes and then they donate to the cause that they're supporting. It's to get attention for the cause.
Yeah, I get that, but I mean, it's one thing to, you know, watch somebody playing video games. It's another thing to watch somebody watching movies for charity.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's it for me. So, I guess for Anthony, John, Nicholas, and myself, this will Nerds on the Rocks episode 19, or if Nick wants to repeat it, because I can't do that.
No, 19.
Oh, yeah.
Signing off, and we'll see you again. As always, same bat time, same bat channel. Amigo en mí.
Hay mucho que puede ser un poco mal listón, mas nunca habrá que puede ser un amigo fiel. Que tú lo sabes, los años pasarán, lo nuestro no morirá, lo vas a ver, mejor tener un buen amigo en mí, hay un amigo en mí.